Welcome to the Tech Flash. If you're looking to increase your ed tech knowledge that's quick and easy to listen to, you have come to the right place. Let's join our host, Josh, and see what today's episode is all about.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to the Tech Flush. For all my newbies out there listening to your first show, I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited you've clicked that play button. And for everybody else tuning in, listen, thank you for coming back. I am appreciative of your listens, your subscribes, all that kind of good stuff. And listen, if y'all haven't heard yet, I was on a podcast called Downright Mindful with Matt Paris and Paul Salzwell. Y'all got to check that one out. They do some really good content, just some fun conversations. So make you check that out. Now listen, today we are hitting episode number 64. Who would have thought it? 64 episodes. Just an incredible journey, incredible things that we get to listen to, the guests that we have on here is just incredible. This journey that podcasting has taken me on. Now listen, for it's 64 today. I don't necessarily have a title yet, but we're getting there. But we got a big time guest in here. We've got Leanne Klepsik in the house. Leanne, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Man, I am excited that you're here. I'm excited that you say yes. And, you know, we talked a little bit about before the show. You know, we've had some of your other counterparts in the building. We had Amanda McDonald, our ELA coordinator for the elementary, K-5. Then we had our secondary coordinator, Elizabeth Kaler, in the house. And so I'm excited to have you in here. So before we get started anymore, go ahead and give us who you are again, what you do for Bradley County Schools, maybe some history or any of those random things you'd like for people to know about yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm Leanne Klepsik, and I am the secondary ELA coordinator for the district. This is my third year in the role. Before this, I was an instructional coach at Walker Valley for 3 years. And for 7 years before that, I was a 10th grade English teacher at Walker Valley. And then I stayed home with kids. Before that, moved here from Mississippi about 18 years ago. And okay. I was a teacher in Mississippi before that. So
yeah, nice. So been all over the place. Now, what'd you teach in Mississippi?
So I was actually a media specialist in Mississippi for a couple of years. I taught elementary, fourth grade, and I taught seventh and eighth grade English. I was a high school theater teacher. I was a second grade teacher. I've done a little bit of everything.
Yeah, so. Wow. And especially in that world of ELA, Media Center, to being, you know, the coordinator at Walker Valley or the instructional coach. Mm-hmm. You've done a lot of things kind of in the same realm. That's right. Versus kind of hopping, you still hopped around a little bit, but still did the same kind of content area.
That's right.
Well, cool. Listen, I'm excited you're here. I'm excited again that you said yes. I know sometimes when I ask people to come on the show, they're like, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to do this. I have nothing to talk about, or I just don't want to talk and hear my voice.
I'm glad to be here. I think we've got some exciting things to talk about.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. Now, listen, to kind of start the conversation, when we think about writing, right? Because we've gone on this track of talking to these other two ladies about writing. Why is writing so important, especially when we think about the secondary?
So I believe writing is critical thinking. It is reading and responding, comprehending what you've read and being able to digest and apply it. Being able to communicate. It's expression. It's recording one's thoughts and feelings. It's recording what you've learned. So I write every day. I keep a journal. I write by hand every single day. It's a prayer journal, really. It's my response and application to God's word. I probably have now more than 60 journals filled cover to cover over the last like 13 years. But writing for me really is, it's about recording my thoughts. It's about like responding to what I've read. It's communication. I've written two books. Only one has been published so far, but it's just published on Amazon. But my mother was also a writer. She kept a journal and she passed away of breast cancer in 2020. Before she passed away though, she wrote me and all of my siblings a journal for us. And so I took her journal and just turned it into a book, kind of recording the things that she didn't say beforehand to kind of tell us, you know, what she wanted to say. And it was really just I guess a way of for me to kind of deal with the grief that I was feeling, yeah. and just kind of to record also like the story behind her writing. And then I've written a little children's book. Just really, it's based on my memories with my grandmother and walking through her garden every night and just memories that I have. And now I have a garden myself, and I like to, you know, what I learned from her about growing flowers and that kinds of thing. Yeah. So writing is just really important. I mean, there's a lot more to writing, I think, than just communicating. It is really, you know, expressing yourself, recording your thoughts. But I think for us in the education world, writing at the secondary level is really critical thinking. It's a step that we can't skip.
I love that. Like, you know, especially when we think about writing, I think you're right. It's twofold. Mm-hmm. You've got this part where you're expressing your thoughts, your feelings. Mm-hmm. You're expressing what your grandparents have transferred down and their thoughts, their experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's really like, you know, when we think about history or any of those type of things, we really have those great artifacts mm-hmm. of real life instead of just here's the events that happened. Now you're really getting this individual person's thoughts, their feelings in the moment. That it's just an incredible feeling to have. But then when we look about education-wise, you're also trying to get these kids to understand how do we get to that point where we can clearly communicate. I mean, you're still like you're expressing yourself. But how do we clearly do that on word and on paper with our words to, I don't know, share that? So when people do read it, maybe because these kids could become famous. They could do something important.
That's right.
And that writing is going to be such an important skill for them. Not just be able to communicate with our words kind of like we're doing now,
right.
but to be able to put that on paper. And I say this all the time, but for people to read what you have written and not sound like a goober.
That's right.
That's like my favorite little thing to say is because you really just don't want people to feel that way.
Right.
And really when we think about, especially when we think about from elementary wise to secondary, we're making that big shift. And I found this word, and writing is not my thing. I learned with Amanda, when I've talked to her writing, I'm not there yet. We're getting there. I've got to work on it. Really with writing, I feel like, especially from elementary to secondary, we're shifting from this basic writing to more analytical and more argumentative writing because we're taking these articles, we're taking things, repeating information. Now we're coming up with our own thoughts, our own ideas, and having to support those with our writing.
I like to say responding to what you've written or what you've read. So when you write, when you respond to it and you think critically about what you've just read, whether it's an article or it can be a piece of literature, but it's how do you want to apply that now to your life? How is that going to change you? You've learned something. How do you apply it? And we think about that all the time with God's word. Like it's one thing to have the knowledge of it, but if you're not going to apply it to your life, then you're, you know, it just kind of falls away and you lose it, what you've learned. So writing is, you know, critically thinking about what you've read, comprehending it, but then digesting it and being able to then apply it. And we do that with everything that we read.
Yeah. And even like Amanda talked about, when you talk about what we read, especially at the elementary building, we're getting them to the point where we're reading and we're writing because both of those are kind of like we're breathing. And she had an awesome quote for it. I'm sure you've heard it before from her, but I don't remember the specific details or the author of it, but really we're breathing and reading at the same. It's like reading and writing isn't very natural. See, I'm already messing
like
it up.
Reading is breathing in and writing is breathing out.
Perfect. Yeah. See, I'm telling you, that's what I need you in the building for. And I've never really thought about that because I feel like for me, I've always thought of, all right, reading is one task. Writing is another task. And yes, they are two different tasks. But at the same time, as I'm writing my words, I'm also reading it to make sure it makes sense and all the things. And I think it's really interesting how we've kind of put that together. So when we think about that part, but then we also think about writing as a foundation, right? So when we get to high school, we need to have a good foundation of at least writing to a point where we can express ourselves appropriately. Now, we may not be great writers in secondary level or when we get outside and we've graduated, but we at least need to have that good, firm foundation of that. So say these kids come up and we're still kind of talk about writing just the basics of before we get into the technology piece of it. But how in the high school, how do we, I don't know, work through that? You know, we sat in the PLC the other day and we're talking about writing. How do we get these kids to write and know their verbs and all these things? But how do you continue to progress these students with writing if they don't really have a good foundation of it when they've gotten to this point?
That's where reading is really key. To me, the more you read, the better writer you will be. And we need to read a lot more than we do right now. So, you know, writing at this level, at the secondary level, it's not just knowing the grammar, the mechanics, the spelling, the conventions, the punctuation. Those are important. But the most important part of writing at this point is the gathering of one's thoughts, the structuring of a response, the ability to cohesively form a response, to order, sequence, and express one's thoughts. This is the hardest part to teach also. I mean, it's, you know, we can teach grammar and mechanics. That's a little more concrete. But that critical thinking of gathering one's thoughts, your response, like thinking, digesting what you've read and being able to like then output that, the breathing out part of it, that's really hard to teach. And so this part at this level, I really feel like what teachers are doing, they're helping you understand how to think critically about what you've read, gather those thoughts, and then be able to cohesively put that on paper in some sort of structured format that makes sense. You talked about more analytical writing, more argumentative and opinion pieces. So you first have to have an opinion, right? You first have to read what, you know, whatever it is you've read, you have to analyze that, think about, you know, and apply that in some way, and then be able to put that on a paper. We can fix the mechanics. We can fix the grammar, the spelling. Those things are a little bit easier to fix. The structure of it, the cohesiveness, the part that makes sense, that's a little bit more difficult for us to fix. But that, I feel like that's the key part of a teacher's role at the secondary level is, you know, being able to help a kid be able to formulate their thoughts and respond in a way that's structured and cohesive. That's the difficult part.
Yeah, I can see that. Because sometimes I think, you know, we have great thoughts. We have great ideas that we can really voice with our words out loud.
Right.
But getting those, especially for me, like getting those on paper and making sure that all the, like for me, it's more of a grammar issue and making sure, I guess, the flow of it.
Right.
But really getting those thoughts and putting them on paper and making sure they sound appropriate. But I guess then that's where the supporting comes from, those high school teachers, of making sure that their thoughts are coherent enough that the period's in the right spot. You're using appropriate vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
And when people read, again, you're not sounding like a goober to where, you know,
I
think that's true because I feel like sometimes even like with podcasting, we'll listen to certain people. And I don't know how much you listen to podcasts but or books on tape or anything. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you listen to these people and you're like, whoa, like you need to go find another hobby or I'm just not going to listen to you anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the same thing goes with papers. We can read the great things from people and it's either above your head or it's to the point. It's like, listen, this, I'm not getting it. I don't understand what you're doing. I think maybe that's where the high school teacher really steps in to find that balance.
You know, and that's why I was saying, like, you have to read a lot, you know, you have to read a lot. And so you have to read a lot to be able to pick out the goober. And what you don't want to read, and then develop a admiration, you know, for the well-written word, you know, for the well-spoken word. I listened to just a news conference yesterday, and there was a farmer, Maren Kennedy, I believe she was, Kennedy Rice Farms in Louisiana, and she was so well-spoken, just describing her family farm, and she was talking with Trump and about this new policy that's being put in place, this $1 billion that they're going to give farmers, but she was so well-spoken and I could listen to her all day, you know, never met the lady before, but you know, as someone who is well-spoken and has that well-turned phrase or a really well-written article, I love to read that. I love to read, you know, the really well, and I'm like, you know, I don't really care to read a goober's book, you know, but when I would read student papers, sometimes I would be so impressed with their ability to put their thoughts, you know, and sometimes it is about the content, what they are writing and how that pierces your soul. Sometimes it is just about how well written it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so to me, that's a beautiful thing that it has to be practiced. You know, you have to maybe have a little natural knack for it, but even someone who doesn't have a natural knack for it, you practice it enough, you can get really good at that. And also be someone who, you know, your writing can touch someone's soul. And that's, to me, that's a beauty, just like a painting or musician, you know, writing is that same way.
Yeah. And especially with practice, I feel like for me, writing has never been something I've really been good at, but I've also never really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
To a point where writing research papers and doing that, that's like, I just don't want to do it. It just doesn't sound fun to me. Yeah. So I can see maybe that impacting what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But when I think about like the show or like having guests on here, mm-hmm. when I first started, this was a one man show, but I really loved having guests on here. I really loved that this conversation that happens. Mm-hmm. And so I've had to work really hard at making sure that it's a conversation mm-hmm. versus like, all right, here's my questions. I'm going to ask the question. You're going to answer it, and now we're going to move on. And so I've had to really practice at that. And I feel like I've gotten a little bit better, maybe not great, but that could be the same thing for students. We need to find a way for them to enjoy it, mm-hmm. to be able to be better at it.
It's like we were saying, like reading. Like, so I don't know that everyone puts those two hand in hand, but reading and writing go hand in hand. Again, you will become a better writer if you read
based off what you read.
Based on what you read. And when you read someone that you admire the way they've written something, whether it's the content that they're writing about or just the way they say things, the way they make something that might have been a difficult thought into something clear and gives clarity to something that you've been thinking about, you know, that there's a beauty to that. And I think, like you said, how do we get kids to do more of it? I think we have to help them find who they like to read and who they might admire the way they've written something. And once they find that beautiful word, then, you know, then they will kind of start to, we can mirror that a little bit and, you know, and then find your own way, you know, so it takes practice.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this though, mm-hmm. reading, mm-hmm. what do you do with these? What do you do about students that don't like to read, mm-hmm. or they've not found the right book? Like how do you help them find that right book? How do you, because if reading is such a key piece to developing their writing, mm-hmm. how do you help them with that? How do these teachers in a class, like if you're, we need them to write, we need them to work on that part of their academics, right. but there's only so much time.
Sure.
How do you find that book for them?
I think it does take building that relationship. You know, that's key, knowing what
they like,
what they're interested in. So I told you that I worked as a media specialist. I was, you know, librarian for a 3-5 school. Yeah. I had lots of kids who would come in at that school. We had an AR program and kids were, you know, encouraged to take part in that and read so many books per, you know, semester or whatever. And a lot of kids who would come in and I don't like to read. And I would always say, you just haven't found the right book yet.
Yeah.
Just like you were saying. And so I would ask lots of questions and try to kind of get some idea of what they might be interested in. And I tried to just kind of know a lot about, you know, what was in my library, what books were available for particularly that age group. And I made it a mission to, especially 4th and 5th grade boys, you know, what might they be interested in, and just having conversations with them and then just making sure that I had those books in stock. But same thing with secondary kids, like, you know, just talking to them about what they might be interested in. I also think that's key with writing as well. Like, you might not be a good writer yet, but I bet you have a story to tell.
Yeah.
You know, and if we can get you interested in telling a story, that'll get you started. And if we can just get anything down on paper, then we can start to refine that process for you a little bit. I would encourage kids, like, dream up something, you know, like, so I can remember having a couple of basketball players in my classroom and they did not want to write. But when it came time to do some creative writing, I was like, okay, so why don't you write about the most perfect basketball game? Who would be in attendance? Who would be there to see you play? Who would you be playing? You know, how many points would you score? Dream it up as if you were able to write the perfect game. What would that look like for you? And when you can get their imagination working, get them interested in something that they can actually see happening, everybody's got a story to tell. You know, so I also remember a kid that had a really, really hard life and seemed hopeless in some ways. And just talking to her about, okay, so let's imagine if we could write your story to be different. What would your story be like? What kind of house would you live in? Who would you be married to? What would your job be? How many kids would you have? That kind of thing. Like, what's dream with me for a little bit. Give it some hope. Let's pretend that whatever we write on this paper, we're speaking it into being. And the look on her face of just like, I can do that? It's like, yes, you can. You can. This is how we dream. And this is how we find hope, is by putting something on paper that becomes a goal for you. And it's almost as if you put it on paper, then it becomes possible.
Yeah.
You know? And so helping kids to think about writing in that way.
I love that. Just especially like you're getting more of the real life examples instead mm-hmm. of like, hey, here's your book. Here's your article.
Sure.
Let's just write. Because mm-hmm. sometimes that just doesn't connect for a lot of our kids.
Absolutely.
But to get an assignment or a task mm-hmm. that makes it more real life to them, I think that's key, and that really can bring out a lot of good things from them.
Absolutely.
Because I think even we know as adults or kids, we're going to enjoy doing something we like. Mm-hmm. And we may not like writing, but if I can talk about this,
yes,
or if I can talk about that and I really love it, mm-hmm, we can talk for days about it. I'm sure like writing, we could sit here for hours, and you could talk about writing for hours. And here I'm just trying to fish out things to talk about, you know?
Yeah. So, because too, we want whatever we're doing to have a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we have to also help students understand what is the purpose in writing? What can your writing accomplish? So you might know a few years ago, my English classes at Walker Valley started a food pantry. You know, we got the food pantry going, and then the next year, the next semester, we were continuing that. But we wanted to get some more funding for it. We wanted to actually have a refrigerator donated. And so I had the students writing letters to different companies asking for the refrigerator, asking for funds to be donated.
Yeah.
And they had to lay out the reason for what they were asking for and why this particular company might support us while they might do this. And so I had Whirlpool call one of the ladies from Whirlpool and said, hey, you know what? We're just going to give you the refrigerator. And I said, that's awesome. But I really would prefer if you would come and let my students give a pitch to you. They've taken this time to write out this pitch.
Yeah.
They want to give the pitch and they want to feel like they earned, you know. And so later afterwards, we would always have like a review, a reflection on what we had done for the semester. And so I had students then that really talked about like, this was really hard work, but man, I sure loved it when we actually accomplish something.
Yeah.
When I could see the purpose of writing this persuasive letter and knew that I accomplished something with it. Like, you know, that's the good thing about writing. Like you got to figure out what it is your purpose is. What do you want to accomplish? But you can accomplish things, whether it be persuading people to donate something to you, persuading someone to change a charge they've given you on your credit card or whatever it is. But like, you know, your writing can accomplish something. There is a purpose behind it. Maybe you want to, you know, express your feelings to someone or express your gratitude, you know.
Yeah.
But you got to find your purpose, and then that helps you develop your... So I think that may be one of the things we're missing these days sometimes is like, maybe we haven't helped our students understand what the purpose is in their writing. Like, what can it actually accomplish for you?
Yeah.
And that can help them, you know, maybe want to work a little bit harder at what they're trying to do.
Yeah. And do you think because of like trying to create our purpose, do you think that classroom, whatever content it is, do you think that needs to change with the assignments that are being given? Like, because, I mean, I can remember being in high school. Hey, listen, we're going to read, Macbeth, Hamilton, whatever. And we're going to analyze the characters. We're going to do all this stuff. And it sounds awful. Like, as an adult now, doesn't sound fun. But do you think because of creating a purpose, trying to get them to enjoy writing more,
sure,
that assignment, or even if it's history, like whatever content, do you think that needs to change, or we may need to make a shift in how we're doing those?
Perhaps we should shift in some ways. I do think that it is important that we try all styles of writing, all purposes of writing. So we talked earlier about not really enjoying doing a research paper. But even then, even if we didn't enjoy it, we can peel that back and understand what's the purpose behind it. What am I accomplishing in doing this research and gathering these thoughts and then responding to this? What am I learning from that? So even though there's probably parts of it and pieces of it that we don't enjoy, I do think that all of it's necessary. Maybe in these different classes, like thinking about in your history classes or even in your science classes, like maybe we should spend a little more time on explaining what the purpose is of the writing there and helping, giving examples, I guess, of well-written science lab experiment write-ups, you know, that kind of thing, or just a response to a history paper, what we've learned from that. Maybe, you know, maybe we should spend a little more time on, you know, making sure that the students understand the purpose or giving the examples of like, what did this accomplish? Maybe, you know, conversations about what this accomplished. So thinking about a great speech when Martin Luther King gave his great speech, like what did that accomplish? And thinking about like, why would we now want to do that same type of writing? What could we accomplish through that? Just making sure that kids make those connections.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Just, you know, still staying with that foundation of why they need to write or just certain things. Because again, some of these kids may be working for a big corporation. They could be doing something that requires them to do research papers, requires them to do these fundamental things, but still developing a purpose, trying to find a way for them to be more creative and understand that they can be creative.
That's right.
I think it's going to be huge. And listen, speaking of creativity, we're going to go ahead and make that shift, because I know, again, we can talk about writing all day and I can keep asking these thoughtful questions. But let's, when we think about writing, now we've got this whole world of AI things that can not just be a tool for us to help us write. Because for me, man, it has been an awesome tool, because mm-hmm. I can write an email and I can just let it be my word. Well, it still is my words regardless. Mm-hmm. My words, but I want it to be more professional, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe I struggle with sounding very professional and using the appropriate vocabulary, sure. or just the flow of it to make sure it's professional sounding. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could take my words, put it into whatever I want to. Hey, can you help me make this professional? Mm-hmm. Or how can I update this? Mm-hmm. And use it more as an editing tool,
sure.
to kind of pick out some things. Mm-hmm. Or I can just say, hey, edit it, make it professional, because I need to send Leanne an email and let's just send it to her, and we can do both sides of it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we know we can do that with so many tasks, with writing, anything that we want to do. But now we've got kids mm-hmm. that are figuring out what right. it's capable of. And how do we really, you know, staying on this tool platform, mm-hmm. how do we get them to understand it's a tool mm-hmm. versus, hey, we're going to analyze Macbeth today. And they just go over and analyze, they type it in, mm-hmm. here it is, and whether they copy and paste it, hand type it, right. how do we really help them understand that this is a tool for them?
Right. I think what you're saying is right on. We can't skip that step. So going back to what we talked about earlier about writing being this critical thinking. So I see AI as a great tool, like you were saying, to maybe help us with editing, you know, with spelling, Grammarly, all of those tools that have been around a while. Like I see that as a, you know, that's a smart way for us to use AI. But when we let it take the place or skip the step of the critical thinking, that's where I think we're losing out. So you talked about you now in your role, maybe even using it to like help make your email sound a little more professional. But you have already spent the time in learning how to write. You've done that critical thinking. You've grown through that. If we let kids now skip that step, they're losing out. I think about it much like we've talked about, like a calculator. You know, a calculator is a tool. Before we handed a kid a calculator, we made sure that they knew the basics of adding, multiplying, dividing. And then, you know, now that you know the basics, you can use that tool and maybe do things faster. Think about GPS. Like if you don't have any idea where you're going and you just type your destination into GPS, how are you going to know that you are getting anywhere even close? If you've never looked at a map, if you've never thought through what is the direction I'm going to take to get to this place? To me, using AI without doing the critical thinking part of it, the actual analyzing, you know, it's also like having a robot do your workout for you. What benefit does that give you? Yeah. The workout gets done. But what benefit does that do for your body? You know, so to me, using AI to analyze something for you, if you've never analyzed anything before, you're losing and skipping that step. You're missing the process that yeah. is the journey, that is the growth that you need, you know.
So really, I think it goes back to what Amanda said and even what we heard from Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. Like, we've got to build the foundation of reading and writing. Then we've got to build our foundation of just the skills that we know how to do, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, drive, you know, we can go get a Tesla and it can drive for us.
Right.
But at the same time, I know how to drive that car if I need to.
That's right.
And so really building that foundation. Mm-hmm. And then once they get to high. So, you know, really we're talking about secondary. Mm-hmm. And so once they have that foundation of writing, whether it's good or it's mm-hmm. not good, if that's mm-hmm. what you want to say. Mm-hmm. How, you know, they still have a foundation, but then how does that work in the classroom to use that tool for them?
Sure.
Like, what is that? So, I don't know. And you know, we've had tons of conversations. We've mm-hmm. talked to ELA teachers, right. Because that's really where the struggle a sure. lot of time is. I don't know how you.
Yeah, it is a struggle. And I don't think we have all the answers to that yet. I do think, you know, I'm hearing in PLCs meeting with teachers, that they are going back to more,
hands-on pencil and paper when they have an essay due, like having them actually write it out on paper in class, and limiting the use of the computer at all, just to, you know, just to try to make sure that it is the student's own work. But they, you know, that's difficult. I did see, I don't remember who this lady was, but I saw an educator talking about one way to do it is now to like actually encourage kids, have AI write this prompt, like respond and write this essay. And then your job is going to be to critique it, to grade it, to analyze and determine, does this prompt or does this essay actually meet the prompt? Can you use the rubric and grade it? And let that be some of the work that we begin to do now. We do have to start thinking about things differently. Yeah. You know, how, I mean, because AI is here to stay. And I think, you know, in as educators, we know we have to be flexible. We know we have to be adaptable. We can use the same curriculum from year to year, but we know that when we have a different group of students come in, we can't just go back to the same place. We have to think about what do these kids need.
Yeah.
And this world is moving so fast. Mm-hmm. Like we're really struggling to keep up with that. And so I think, you know, we have to keep open minds. I do think as teachers, we need to be able to look at students' work and determine where are they in this process of learning to critically think, learning to analyze, learning to read and respond, and then help them develop from there. You know, it's going to be an ever-changing role for us, as it is for students. Like, you know, but I think what I would want people to know, students, parents, stakeholders, business leaders, you know, there is a role for AI for sure. You know, but let's remember that it's a tool like a calculator. We want kids to know the basics. We don't want them skipping the step of learning, read and respond and analyze and that critical thinking. If we let AI do that work for us and we don't develop that ability, we're really selling kids short.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I feel like we can't let it be one of these things that just says, hey, here's what I need to write a paper on. Mm-hmm. I need to turn it in. It's due tomorrow. Like, and you just write it and turn it in. Because again, we're not learning anything.
Right.
Because, you know, whether you like writing or not, or you're not good at it yet, there is a purpose in it, depending on your content, right? Mm-hmm. So like whether I'm going to, you know, history, I'm a history buff, but I'm going to go to, you know, to a university to become a history major. I want to work for, I don't know, the government or do something, right? A library. I've got to be able to take two specific battles and write about those and be able to explain those, because I may elevate myself to a position that I want to be able to talk about this specific error or how to do those things and how to analyze key components, right? And that goes for any job that we're in, you know, especially like, you know, being a coordinator, being in the tech field, like, if I want to describe two different tech programs and you're like, hey, listen, Josh, the district's going to purchase A or B, but I need you to write me a paper on it. I've got to be able to do that because my foundation's already there, but I need to understand how to do it to present it the right way. And so I think kids do need to understand that, even though for writing about Macbeth, and nothing against Macbeth, but that does not sound exciting to me. And there's probably a lot of kids that way, but I think, again, going back, we need to find out, or we need to help students understand the purpose in it, maybe change that role. Maybe we're still analyzing Macbeth, but maybe can we analyze it to our own lives? Can we analyze it to another character that they know? Right. And trying to figure out a better way for them to be able to write and enjoy that process, because that process is going to take them later down the road in life. And it may not. I mean, you've got kids that, you know, we're here in the Pi Center, and nothing against these kids, but you've got some kids that are going to go straight into the workforce that writing is not, I mean, they're going to be able to write their reports and do things for their job, but they're not going to be able to, they don't want to write a report that's, you know, comparing two different articles or things, but they can understand the process of it.
Right.
So again, it's just finding that avenue for them to enjoy it, I guess, to a point, if that makes sense. And just kind of continue down that path. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to ask you this question.
Okay.
And I don't mean to put you on the hot seat. I feel like this is kind of a loaded question.
Okay.
And I think because we've been enough meetings together that I feel like I kind of know what you're going to say, but I kind of don't. So we've got this AI that's a tool, right? Mm-hmm. And I really, truly believe it as me as a person that teachers need to be able to teach our kids how to use it. Mm-hmm. I think saying, hey, we're not going to use it, is something that just continues to push things off. It's a struggle, I feel like, to say that out loud to certain people. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where you land on that page. We've never really dove into it deep. But I do think there is a place for it in our writing, but it's using it appropriately that we've kind of already hit on. But how do you deal with the, well, let's backtrack. What's your view on it? Like on AI in just general, you're an English teacher, mm-hmm. classroom, we're going to use it, we're not going to use it. So, like, how does that look? And I don't mean to put you on the hot seat.
No, that's fine. I do think like you, like the world is ever changing. As teachers, the one thing we need to be is flexible and adaptable and to see how things are changing, because we are supposed to help prepare kids for the world that they're going to live in, that they're living in currently. So AI is here to stay. I do agree with that. I do think that there are already lots of benefits from AI, using AI to enhance your writing, whether it be spell check or Grammarly or some of those tools that are already out there. I do think, like, I would prefer those particular tools not be used for elementary students. Like, I think they need to be working on correcting their spelling, their editing, you know, on their own.
Yeah, 100% agree.
But as you, just like a calculator, as you grow and become a better writer, you know, I now will run a spell check, or just, you know, Grammarly is on all of my things. And if I see something underlined, oh, missed a comma there. Oh, I need to go back and change that. You know, that's just it's a common everyday thing for me. So I would not tell students they can't use Grammarly, can't use spell check. Like, to me, that's a tool just like a calculator.
Yeah.
Check your work. You know, just you've written it, now check your work. So there's a place for that. When it comes to teachers and teachers using AI in their lesson plan, I guess I have a little bit more of a mixed feeling with that. So for a veteran teacher, an AI tool can be great for helping them come up with new ideas for a same old lesson they've taught many times.
Yeah.
However, with a newer teacher, who there's something we talk about called intellectual preparation, where you have to take in what it is you're going to be teaching, a text that you've read, that you're going to be sharing with students. You yourself as the teacher need to read that text. You need to analyze that text based on the students that you have in your classroom. What words are going to be difficult for them? Are they going to understand the concept? What background knowledge might they need? Those kinds of things. If you let AI do all of that work for you, you're selling yourself short as a teacher. You're not going to prepare yourself intellectually for teaching that lesson. So I think we have to be just really careful with you know, who and how the tools are used. You know, I think it can be a really helpful tool for new teachers to help them kind of come up with some things, like, you know, that they maybe the questions that they, the advancing purposeful questions that they may not have thought of. But I think we have to be careful that they don't skip the step of intellectual preparation. To me, that kind of compares to skipping that step that students would need for critical thinking about their writing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you need to be able to read that and analyze it yourself first before you let someone else come in and do that work for you, because you miss out on some growth and experience that would take place. Veteran teachers do, you know, some of that becomes automatic for them.
They have the foundation.
And, you know, it becomes automatic. But a newer teacher who hasn't done that enough times yet, they may miss out on developing a critical skill for themselves in teaching and just being able to take a text, take an assignment, a task, and really analyze it and know where are the kids going to mess up on this? Where's the pitfalls? You know, what do I need to be prepared for? That takes a while to develop, takes some experience. And so if we let AI do that for us, we're losing the development of that skill.
Yeah, it's even like, you know, because my background is a special education teacher for 12 years, and man, it would have been awesome if AI was around for that. Because I think about, like, I had a great foundation between, you know, graduating college, getting my master's in special education, writing my individualized education plans. I had a really good background. I became a really good writer. I had some good district people that really poured into me to help me write those and be really good at it. But I think sometimes when you have a kid that has the same, you know, reading comprehension goal, reading comprehension deficit, and they're dealing with, they're both struggle with understanding the main idea. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't tell you how many times that I would want to write the same goal, the same present level of performance. And even if I didn't try to, I'd reread it. I'm like, man, I just feel like I wrote this like a week ago, but this is a new student. So I feel like having the foundation and be able to go into whatever AI and say, hey, listen, here's my
I have a student A, because, you know, we don't put names in there, right. But student A really struggles with comprehension, and these are the things. Mm-hmm. It's going to help me draft a new goal for that, right? Mm-hmm. But even with that, even when you go back to lesson plans, I wouldn't, and I don't recommend, like, just taking that lesson plan that they gave you and like, all right, I'm going to print it and we're going to teach it today. Right. No, you've got to have that foundation of the skills inside of that. Just mm-hmm. like you said, if I'm reading this passage today, we've got to be able to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, we still as teachers have to build our foundation for the skills that we're teaching right. to be able to interact with it, mm-hmm. to be able to ask these questions. And we can come up with new, you know, diving deeper, DOK yes. questions and mm-hmm. different passages, like, mm-hmm. come up with different things that our kids need, because we know our kids, we know what they're going to experience, we know where their downfalls are going to be. So it kind of helps us with that. But again, foundation is key.
Right. I encourage teachers now to use AI to help them. Like, if you don't have enough practice questions that are EOC or TCAP ready questions, yeah. And you want, so let's use AI to help us formulate new questions that go along with the text that we've read to give kids more practice. So there are great uses of it. Yeah. I think we just, you know, again, like you're saying, we have to be careful and make sure that we aren't selling ourselves short.
Yeah.
That, you know, in using it, that we are still completely prepared intellectually to teach the lesson, but what we can use it as a tool that will help us enhance
yeah.
the lesson.
Yeah, I think it's great. Mm-hmm. And then let's kind of circle back to the students, because that's really, I feel like, as adults, like, we can talk about what we need to experience, and we can, but I think most time adults, we're on the same page of how we can use it appropriately in our field, in the school building, mm-hmm. right? To lesson plans, organization, all those kind of things. But I think sometimes the struggle is still this, and I still know this is what, year number three, mm-hmm. that AI has really been prevalent in what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But how do we really use that with students? Like, you talked about Grammarly, mm-hmm. right? But I also know sometimes we don't want students to use Grammarly. Mm-hmm. But how do you, I just struggle, like, on my side. Mm-hmm. Like, where's that line of, mm-hmm. you know, I know we don't want them to use it to write their papers. We're going to use it to help maybe outline, to help with ideas, to generate maybe some topics. You know, if we're going to, mm-hmm. here's my two research papers, I need a topic, you know, mm-hmm. kind of work through that a little bit if we need to. But really, like, when we think about, like, Grammarly, because you've mentioned that a couple times, and I even use Grammarly's, like, my best friend. I almost should pay for it. But how do we, like, how do we deal with that with students? We want them to understand where commas go, spell words correctly. But if they're going to use Grammarly and then they get docked for using it.
So I would say, like, so I would still encourage using Grammarly. But I do think a teacher needs to, maybe we need, you know, it's some way of using Google and the history and what, you know, maybe the kid records, okay, Grammarly had to help you out. How many times on what? On placing your commas, oh, yeah. on you know, subject verb agreement. What are the things that you continually miss? Maybe we need to take a minute and explore that lesson. You know, go back and review that. You know, there's a way that we can use it where it enhances our learning.
Almost like submitting, like, here's yes. version A. Here's my me editing, right. me making sure things are spelled correctly, absolutely. And then here's version two that I'm going to turn in. That I've looked for Grammarly and yeah. it's maybe I've ran it through an AI to edit or do whatever.
Exactly. And what did I miss? You know, what are the common mistakes that I make? If it's, I never remember to capitalize I, then I need to do some work on it. And, you know, or if I never remember to put a period in, or I miss the comma before and every time, like, what is it that I miss? And just making sure that, you know, that we do know that rule, and that we can apply it. And you know, that we're just aware of, and that's a common mistake that we make because we, you know, we all have common mistakes that we make. Even as the ELA coordinator, Grammarly gets me on putting the comma, the Oxford comma, like I go back and forth between what I should do, you know? So, we do make mistakes. We all do in our everyday writing and, you know, and even in a professional setting, like, you know, I'm still going to run my paper, my essay, my presentation through Grammarly and spell check just to make sure, is there something that I didn't see?
Because we're still using it. We're still expressing our own words.
That's right.
But we're using it as a tool. I think that's great.
Checking our math just like we would with a calculator.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we got that calculation correct.
Yeah. You know. Now, hey, listen, before I think we're kind of close to wrapping up, feel like. You feel like that? Is there anything else you've got written on your paper there?
I think we
pretty much have carried it out. I did have a note here just that, so in secondary, we should really be focused on the skill of critical analytical thinking, building structure of writing, and that AI's place in this should just be for the spelling, the grammar, the editing. In elementary, we should be teaching students, they should be learning the basics of grammar, spelling, mechanics, conventions, etc., just like a calculator or GPS. And we need to know those basics. But then in secondary, you know, we really have to shift our focus to that critical thinking, the analyzing, the structure of the writing, the coherence of our thoughts and putting those thoughts on paper. And that to me is the part where we can't let AI take the place of that part of the thinking for us. You know, at this point, I believe that it should be used more as a tool for editing. You know, once you've got your thoughts in place and a structure laid out, perhaps an AI tool can help you polish that, refine it.
Yeah.
But it does need to be your thoughts, your words that get put on the paper before they're refined.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And, you know, kids need, again, you know, foundation. Mm-hmm. Got to have the foundation no matter what grade we're in, no matter what level of life we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You got to have that foundation for those skills. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, sometimes we may not have a foundation. You know, as an adult, I don't know how to change my oil, like whatever. I could find a YouTube video or sure. I could go to AI mm-hmm. and, hey, here's what steps I need to do this or mm-hmm. to make a cake or cook. And some right. things we may have, but still, like, even though, like, when you think about changing oil, I have tools that I know how to work with.
Sure.
So, or baking a cake. I know what the measuring cups are. I know what yes. ingredients are.
So
I know.
I
knew a little bit, right? And so maybe we have more of a foundation on a lot of skills that we know.
Right.
So when we do use a platform,
that's right.
we may say, "Hey, I don't have any foundation in this," but to a point, we do. Mm-hmm. I just now thought of that. How about that?
Well, I mean, to me, that's like we talked about using GPS. You know, yeah. you may not be able to tell me how to get from here to Knoxville with your words, but you have a general idea of what direction you're going to go in.
That's true.
You know, and then you're going to recognize some landmarks along the way so that if you get to a certain point and you've not seen these landmarks, you can go, am I headed in the right direction?
Yeah.
You know, and GPS, like, you know, and then you may, maybe at that point you're like, let me check GPS and make sure I put this in correctly. Like, mm-hmm. you know, so that you do. Our students do probably have more of a foundation. It's up to us as the teachers to kind of, you know, coax that out of them or massage that into, like, you know, this, what do you know about this? Like, how, you know, let's look, can you try to correct this on your own now? Could you, that's not spelled right before you check, spell check. Can you try to figure out how to spell this word correctly? You know, that kind of thing. Just to help them identify where they might need to grow a little bit, where they might need to work a little bit.
Yeah, so really writing is going to be more, I don't want to say on the teacher, mm-hmm. but it's going to be more of a process than it yeah. has been, mm-hmm. especially when we both are in school and we had to do those things mm-hmm. because we didn't have those tools for that.
Right.
We had to spend time sitting down with our teacher, professor, going to the academic tutor, like whatever that looks like mm-hmm. for people to read and adjust. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't necessarily have to spend all that time, but we need to get to a point where we're still having mm-hmm. conversations about our writing. Right. But those conversations and what we're addressing could be different.
Right.
So instead of spending a lot of time maybe on my commas mm-hmm. and yeah. correct spelling, now we're really getting to spend more time on the meat
right.
of what I need to write
the
about.
Thoughts,
the thoughts.
The content. The
my
structure
thoughts.
Of,
their thoughts. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's really, I think, where I land on all of this is because that, now that we have these tools that can correct the spelling, that can correct the grammar, the hard part of teaching writing is really helping kids to figure out their thoughts. To, you know, they have ideas. We have no doubt that kids have some ideas about some response to something they've read or a question they've been asked. It's how do we help them formulate those thoughts into something that's cohesive
yeah.
and structured and sequenced. That's the hard part for a teacher. I think that's why we sometimes have a tendency to want to just teach the grammar, who want to just teach, you know, the mechanics, because that's so concrete. But it's a little more difficult for us to, like, you know,
ask the right questions and help the kid figure out, okay, but these thoughts don't go together. Finish this thought. And then let's figure out three supports for this idea that you have, you know, and helping them see that, oh, you didn't finish out the three thoughts, you know. So really it becomes, as a teacher, it becomes more of a, we have to be a reader of our students' writing and an analyzer of their writing and someone who can ask good questions and help them see what, you know, what they might be missing to help develop it better.
Yeah, and especially when you get to these, I think, secondary teachers or like college-based teachers that love their content,
right?
That love their math. They love their history. They want to talk about it all the time.
Right.
And now they can spend more time talking about why this paper needs to be this way. More about your thoughts and why they need to, like, and I'm trying to fish things out because I'm not a writer, but like more of these things versus like, grammar.
Yes. Your spelling was atrocious. Your grammar.
Like, that's awful. Like, nobody wants to do that.
Right.
But you want to talk about the meat of it, that's the content.
And let's let Grammarly and spell check take care of
it. I love that. Now, listen, I have a couple thoughts.
Okay.
But before we get to those couple thoughts, I need to transition again.
Okay.
And I love this because, and I don't know if you listen to the show or not. That's okay. Doesn't matter. At this point in the career of the Tech Flush, I love doing it, and that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. But listen, we have this part of the show that's called the Tech Flush Tip of the Day.
Okay.
The best part of the show. You ready for the best part of the show before we go any further is this right here. That was a toilet flush.
I recognize that.
So the Tech Flush.
I've heard one before.
The Tech Flush, right? We got to have a toilet flush here. When we think about technology, okay, since this is an ed tech show, when we think about technology, writing, not, I'm going to kind of leave that up to you. What would be your biggest either advice, your favorite tool? What is just kind of an ed tech tip that you'd like to share?
I think as an ELA coordinator, I would have to say, use Grammarly. It can be your best friend. Like, there's no reason at this point in our careers, or even as a student, if you know how to use a computer, if you know how to use Grammarly at all, everything, emails, all of it should be run through Grammarly. And we should make those edits and those corrections because it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's outlined for you, underlined for you. It's in red. Just take the time to click on those words, put the commas in where they need to be, check your spelling. And there's no reason at this point why we should have, you know, mistakes.
No, I love that. I think that's great. I mean, it helps me on a daily basis.
Me too.
For anything that I'm writing. So I love that. That's a really great tip. Now, listen, before we start wrapping up, what kind of advice do we need to encourage teachers that... And I get, you know, we're not going to use our computers. We're going to handwrite everything, right? Mm-hmm. But to a point, that's in this day and age, I feel like that's a lot of extra work for a teacher to read everything, right?
Sure.
Now,
sure.
At the same point, I get like they love the content. I want to read their words. I want to know all these things. Mm-hmm. But to a point, maybe they need to write something on their computer. They need to turn in a paper because, I mean, probably state testing, they're writing words, they're doing all these things. Mm-hmm. So we need to practice that skill.
Right.
But how do we really help teachers? How do we support them in this role of AI? And what are some maybe, how do we, let's do this. How do we support them with that, with their students? How would you, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I would encourage them. I think you guys have a program out there, Bloxy, that can really help teachers monitor what their kids are doing online. And so I would encourage them to use that to the full advantage to make sure that they, you know, when they have students on the computer and they are concerned about maybe some copying and pasting going on, let's make sure that we've blocked out websites, that we've used that tool to the max, you know, and that we're doing that. Just as you said, you know, our EOC testing for, you know, is for 9 through 12, it's online.
Yeah.
So they need to be able to type. In middle school, it's online. So they need to be able to type and they've got to have some practice on the computer. So while I do encourage pen and paper, pencil and paper as much as possible, we also need practice on, you know, because that it's a time test and they've got to be able to click it out, you know, and be able to type the words. So we do have to have some practice. So use Bloxy to your advantage as a teacher to, you know, to kind of block out the things that, you know, maybe that you don't want students kind of limit their operations on the computer. But I would also say something else we have to do
I mentioned it before, but figure out a way to use AI. Help students learn how to use AI to their advantage, but without skipping or selling themselves short on the critical thinking part. So can we occasionally let it be, you know, a task at some point, a couple of times a semester, where you encourage the students to use AI to write the prompt, pull that back up, and now let's analyze what's been written. Let's determine, does it fit the prompt? Does it answer the prompt? What would you grade this based on the rubric? What does the focus look like, the organization? What does the grammar look like? Can you make corrections? Do you see, you know, and help them to begin to recognize, is this a well-written paper? Does it actually answer the prompt? Because the other skill that, you know, that kids are going to have to learn how to use, I mean, what gets them caught in using AI is that they didn't type in the question very well. They didn't put the prompt in. And so the essay that they've had spit out really doesn't answer the prompt. And so a teacher's going to recognize, this wasn't written by a student who actually sat in class and read these texts. What happened here? And so, you know, I think that we, you know, we have to help students see that. And so they need practice on using AI. We're creative as teachers. Like, we can adapt and figure out ways to make a lesson that is going to help students, benefit them, you know, and help them see how to use AI in a responsible, purposeful way that you know, is it's, you know, an advantage for everyone involved.
Yeah, that's awesome, because that was going to be my next question, was how do we get teachers to use it with their students? Mm-hmm. But that's a great idea to have them, hey, here's our research paper we're going to do today. And we're going to find articles, we're going to find our things, but we're going to let AI help us write it, help us create our thesis statement, help create ideas for this. And really, instead of just saying, go, let's walk them through that process and let that teacher really harness into their non-grammar and verbs writing to the content that they love. Mm-hmm. And let's write a good paper and pull some things out and use their own thoughts.
We talked earlier about, you know, a good writer is also going to be a good reader.
Yeah.
So, you know, once you've had AI write the paper, you read it and analyze it, pick it apart.
Yeah.
You know, does it actually answer the prompt? Where would it measure up on the rubric? Did it actually have relevant, sufficient evidence? You know, what's it missing?
Yeah.
And how could you make it better?
No, I love that. That's an awesome idea. And I've never really thought about it doing it that way. I've always thought about, like, you know, for writing, hey, look at processes that the student can't use AI for. Like, take a life event that happened to you and compare it to this. Or do you know, you've got those ideas.
Sure.
But to really walk them through in using it to write a paper or parts of the paper and to analyze it and see how they feel that's about it.
Yeah.
Does it feel like something you would write? Does it feel like a human? Mm-hmm. Or does it feel like someone just put a bunch of words on paper?
Right.
I think that's an incredible idea. I really love that. Totally going to be sharing that with some teachers, even the ones that are hesitant. And I think we're always still going to have that.
Sure.
But it's again, it's finding a way to get past that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, again, because it's here.
It is here. It's not going to happen.
You know, it's like we talked to Elizabeth. It's here.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do about it?
Right.
Just kind of like the calculator.
That's right.
Right?
Or GPS.
Yeah. I mean it's all the things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just finding that out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, cool. Well, awesome. Listen, I think this has been awesome. I think I didn't necessarily plan this series. You know, I told you before the show, I just was listening to one of my favorite podcasts and they talked about AI and writing. I was like, I would love to record some thoughts with the people in our district.
Mm-hmm.
And so for between Amanda, Elizabeth, and now you, I think this has been really incredible because I haven't really planned a bunch of the questions, right? Today, like, I sent you some things. I didn't plan any of my questions that I was going to talk about. And so I know we learned from Amanda, reading and writing go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth talked about the foundation, that we need the foundation of writing to go there. And today we're continuing that, knowing the foundation, but also figuring out our purpose for writing and being able to express ourselves, because we want people to truly know who we are and our thoughts. And figure out a way to use technology to enhance it, to help with our grammar and do some of the things. But again, continuing to make sure that it's us, whether we're students, adults, making sure that it's us that's writing it and continuing that path. Like, it's just been an incredible, incredible conversation.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Man, it's been awesome. Yeah. We'll have to have you come back.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
All right. Well, cool. Listen, I don't know this or not, but are you big into like Twitter, social media? Do you want people to follow you? Do you just, are you, you know, I had somebody on the other day that's like, listen, I have it, but I just look at people's stuff. So
I probably do more of looking at people's stuff. Okay. I read a lot of X now, I guess.
Yes, I still call it Twitter. I can't, do the X.
It's hard to say that.
Yeah, it's just weird.
But yeah, I'm not a big, I don't have a big following on social media. Yeah. I don't post a lot of things.
Yeah, but, no. Yeah. Now listen, before this role I'm in now, I didn't do any of that stuff. But really, you know, in certain roles, and I feel like my job is to share.
Sure.
And to share things and to talk about it. So I've started some more doing some of that. So that's where my world of X and Instagram and the show now, like it's a lot of times, but it's fun to share things and see what people pick up.
Absolutely.
Well, cool. Awesome. Well, Leanne, I really appreciate you saying yes. I really appreciate you being on the show. And who knows, maybe we'll have you back one day.
Sure. Sounds good. Awesome. Thanks, Josh.
Well, cool. Well, listen, everybody, I hope you enjoyed episode number 64. I think it was just an incredible conversation about writing and continuing this series. And who knows, we might have to find somebody else to come on here and talk about writing and see how that goes. But listen, remember, you can follow me on Instagram, X, Twitter, wherever you want to call it. Remember, the show also has a website. You can go to bit.ly/techflush. You can go on there and see some notes. You can see the episodes there. You can also see the link to my other Google site that I've created that links a bunch of just edtech tools and all of that. So make sure you check those out. And for the Tech Flush, this is episode number 64. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Tech Flush podcast. Stay tech savvy, keep those gadgets charged, and remember, teachers and technology go hand in hand, connecting students to a world of knowledge for an electrifying learning experience. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and spread the word about the Tech Flush to your friends. Catch all episodes on Apple Podcasts. See you next time on the Tech Flush.